This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
Discover more of our shows at soundrebel.co.uk.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Triple Captain. We are FPL Triple Cap on social media. We are a podcast. Of course, you know we're a podcast because you're listening to us. We're a podcast. We're an FPL podcast with the aim of getting you to the top of your mini league. I never really know what to say in these introductions. Since I've stopped doing the poems, I'm a bit like, I say hello and then I start rambling about stuff that perhaps doesn't make sense, which is what I'm doing now.
We haven't had a poem this season. I think maybe we
haven't had a poem.
Yeah, definitely.
I know. I'll definitely bring it back. And yeah. 100%. Otherwise, just end up rambling like this. So I'm Luke Jurdy. I'm your co-host. I'm joined as ever by Rich Wolfenden. How are you doing, Rich?
Yes, mate. I'm very, very good. I've quite enjoyed this, like, almost fortnight off of no FPL. There's been like the odd little rumble on Twitter over what to do with Ronaldo and that sort of thing. Obviously, we had Olivia on the last episode as well, so that was good to, you know, keep us on our toes. But having a weekend off where it was just, you know, stress-free, didn't have to worry about whether Livramento was going to get an assist or not, and that sort of nonsense. So I'm just kind of, you know, I'm looking forward to it now. Like, you know, it builds up to the start of the season for game week one, and you're all excited because you've been thinking about your team for a long time. It's kind of that kind of emotion once again has came back for game week four. So yeah, I'm good.
Excellent. Well, I obviously couldn't get enough. I made a WSL fantasy team. Season. Hilariously. I did very well, actually. Got 101 points in the I think I'm 235th out of like 1,500 players. So you got much more of a chance of winning the WSL one. But I know nothing about women's football, but I promised my sister I'd watch it more this season because she's a coach for the under 14s Academy Man City Girls.
Cool.
Yeah,
she just smashed Everton as well, didn't they? 4-0.
Yeah, the senior team did, and I think her team actually smashed United 5-1 in their first game of the season. So she's doing really well. So I was like, I've got to watch a bit more women's football. And I really enjoyed it, actually. The first weekend was great. Anyway, so we've got special guest with us. It's friend of the pod. It's at FPL Tips. It's Harry. He got an overall rank of 3.8K last season. What a rank. That's better than any of us have ever got here at Triple Captain. And he's got a really popular YouTube channel. He's great on Twitter. He's always coming up with great FPL info and stats, etc., etc. It's Harry. Welcome to the pod, mate.
Thank you for having me. So many compliments. You're making me blush, Luke. No, never had someone say, no one apart from my mum.
Is that how your mum introduced you to your family, friends and stuff? This is my son, Harry. Finished 3,800 in FPL last season.
Yeah, that's it. We have family gatherings.
Definitely. So, pleasure to have you, Harry. And I guess we should talk about game week four, really. We've got a few days to go. We are going to cover wildcarding. None of us are doing it, I don't think, but we are certainly going to cover it because we know a lot of people are. There's a few people on our Discord, I think, that were toying with wildcarding, or maybe have done already. I don't know. So we'll talk about that. The best team possible, basically, and I think that'll cover our usual thing of who to pick, who to captain, and who to drop. Ben is back. How you doing, mate?
Hello. Yeah, I'm good.
Mr. International.
Yeah, apparently.
You've had a good start, right? What's your rank?
Stunning start, yeah. 121,000 at the moment.
Yeah.
Which is,
excellent.
You know, it's interesting. Just because I remember at the start when we were having our production meeting at the start of the season. I'm fine with it, by the way. But I remember Luke saying, look, we're going to keep the episode shorter this year, which basically meant, Ben, that means you need to talk less than you usually do. It's okay. I've just got a 121k rank. Before we move on, though, to Harry, and I feel like we should, in the intro, you missed out a bit of your bio, Luke, which is obviously you are a contributor for Fantasy Football Hub.
Yes.
And you've been trolled this week, so I just wanted to know if you're okay. Have you seen this much?
I'm fine, mate. The funny thing is, right, like let me tell you what happened. So I wrote an article called Ronaldo versus Lukaku, There's Only One Winner, right? And there's a very well-known, I don't mean to patronise anybody, but perhaps if you're not a writer or you don't, like, there's a very well-known writing technique of short sentences, for dramatic effect, right? So I thought, I'm going to write an article about Ronaldo. I'm going to make it dramatic because Ronaldo is in himself dramatic. That links because, you know, his exploits for Portugal, breaking the record, scoring in the 96th minute, getting a yellow card, making himself available for United. All of this stuff, you know, this romantic idea of Ronaldo. I wrote this article. And obviously, it wasn't a standard. If you listen to this pod, you know how into stats I am and how into FPL I am. But the article was very short. It's about 350 words. And it was quite, like, to the point, like, you can, there's only one winner here. You've got to pick Ronaldo over Lukaku. And the whole idea of it is just the drama. And Ronaldo, as a player, you know, writes his own scripts, doesn't he? He's one of those players where if anybody is going to have those, like, that Michael Jordan last-minute three-pointer moment, it's Ronaldo. So that's the kind of point I was making. And obviously, it's a simple article. It's written for... I don't even like. I think, why am I even explaining this? Like, it's so obvious what I'm doing with the article. But obviously, there was people that. I mean, there was somebody that commented saying it was the worst article they'd ever read on the,
oh
on the Fantasy Football Hub.
I'm looking here at PSwiss89. This article is too oversimplified, in my opinion.
That's it.
And Luke, I have to say, I love it that you don't just let the trolls get to you. You go, you know, hang on a second. I'm going to find my corner here. So it's Luke Pond. The oversimplified style is the point. It's a writing technique. You call him out. You call him out.
Well, Twitter, you know what? Arguments. That's where it's at. I never thought that was you had that in your locker. That
to be honest, I don't normally. And okay. I think the key with stuff like that. I mean, Harry's had a bit of this as well, haven't you, Harry? I know you've tweeted a couple of things like, can people just be nice? And it's like I just. And to be honest with you, it is when these, like, you get an email notification if someone comments on your post on the hub, and when, that initial email does give you a little jolt of anxiety because you think, oh well, what's this person said? And actually some of it is quite like just not very nice at all, you know. And it's just it's when people completely miss the point and they're just not nice about it. And actually there is a kind of underlying deeper thing here of like, just be a bit nicer, guys. It's really not, you know. But the longer I leave it, the funnier I find it, luckily. Whereas but some people don't cope with it very well, do they?
I loved the article. It was informative.
Thanks,
and obviously it didn't take me too long to read, so that was fantastic.
Very good.
But anyway, we should probably talk FPL now. We really have rambled.
So what were we going to talk about? First off, what was the first topic going to be then? We've got Harry on. We've hardly asked him anything yet.
So. I know. Yeah, it's just me rambling as always. Well, let's dive straight in, shall we? With Wildcard, Ben. What do you think?
Well, Harry, you've done an article a YouTube video this week about people who are on their Wildcard. So, which is essentially, if you were on your Wildcard this week, who would you pick? I mean, where do you want to start?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like we said just before we came on, I reckon this will be the most wild cards that's ever been played in a game week. And I think it will break the record quite considerably. There's so much talk about it. There seem to be so many that seem to be playing. I wouldn't be surprised if it is that high. I'm personally not playing it because I think there's so much that I still have absolutely no idea what I'd do when I went to play my team. If there are a couple of players which I think I'd get if I went on my wild card, which are Calvert-Lewin and Diogo Jota. And I think they're great assets to own. But is it worth me playing my wild card for two players? Probably not. And there are just so many things. I'm like, I look at what goalkeeper do I want? I haven't a clue who I'd pick on my wild card. And I still think 3 weeks further down the line, there's a big fixture swing. Then again, I'll probably get more of a benefit. I still plan on playing it quite early, game week 7 probably, when there's that big Chelsea swing. Get triple Chelsea, ditch a few United players is the plan at the moment. I'm not against it, and I can see the benefits of playing it now. I don't think it's a mistake, but just for my team, I think there's so much that I would be putting a finger in the air and trying to sort of guess, especially in that midfield. A lot of those cheap midfielders, I'm a bit like, they're all good. None of them seem great, and I just don't know which I'd pick. And it could easily go as amazingly right and get me 50 points in 2 weeks as it could go horribly wrong and me be in a worse position than I would. So I think I'll just wait it out.
Yeah, we had a good question about this actually from at Andy Undo and Andres Munoz. I think I'm probably not pronouncing that right. So sorry, friend. Do you think that wildcarding so early in the game is a massive knee jerk of sorts, given that FPL takes into account the long game so much, or is the surge of premiums this season an actual game changer that people need to hop on sooner rather than later? Harry's kind of answered that, but do you think it's knee jerk to wildcard?
I look at people's wildcard teams and I put a post out the other day being like, oh, can I just see them? And it was more to get in my mind to reinforce the point that I don't think I need it, because the other thing is we'll probably not use our second wildcard to game week 30 because of the way Ben Crellin seems to think the doubles will fall. So you're picking a team for 30 game weeks based off 3 weeks, which is a little bit daunting.
Yeah, I'm the same. I mean, I think I tend to take a much more cautious approach, and you know, my team's done okay for the first 3 weeks. I'm in the top million, so I don't think there's any kind of worry. I think maybe if I was down, you know, 5-6 million, and my team was really, I'd picked a lot of the wrong players, then I think I would do it. But I think there's that tendency, I think, especially when there's an international break and there's a bit of a lull in proceedings, and Ronaldo's here now, and oh, do we get Lukaku in as well? And there's a real temptation to pull the trigger, isn't there? But I'm the same. I do think it's a little bit knee jerky, but then it sometimes could really work in your favor. I think there's people that have got really high ranks that are doing it to try and push on even further now, to get that kind of head start, but it could then backfire later on. Like you say, if you're then having a team for 30 game weeks, that's tricky with you know, one or two free transfers a week.
Well, you're talking there about the international break. Have you three done your transfers already over the international break? Ben's nodding.
I had to bring in Ronaldo. And I think this will be known as the Ronaldo wildcard. That's the main reason people are wildcarding, because they've tried to move things around and they can't get Ronaldo in. Yes, he is going to bang against Newcastle. Yes, the captain's armband is already on him. As soon as I brought him into my team, I suddenly felt better. I felt like I could relax and stop thinking about FPL. I needed him in, and the price rises have been... Well, actually, the price falls have been doing me a bit this season already. So I didn't want to miss, you know, with Danny Ings going down, few of the players going down, obviously the Argentinian fellas who got into themselves a spot of trouble this week on the pitch in front of a live audience of millions of people. They'll bonkers. Probably be dropping down in value. It is bonkers, isn't it?
Speaking of dropping in value, you're the reason that I did my transfers early.
You're like you this, Harry. Me, you're like
you,
this.
You messaged me. You messaged the chat at about what? 10 o'clock or something like that. I think I was in work. And you were like, Ings is going to go down in price tonight. Ings is going to go down in price tonight, and I have Ings. And Danny Ings didn't go down in price.
He did, though. He did. He was 8.1.
No, he did, but what but Ben... Ben has
price that we bought ben, him for.
Exactly. Ben still hasn't quite grasped selling value.
No, I haven't. No.
So he'd gone up to 8.1 because of his good start to the season, and then he'd gone back down to his original price of 8, which is what I bought
so
him
it makes
for.
No difference. Yeah.
Yeah, and I panicked, and I was like, oh, I can't miss out on another... Price drop.
It's because it's 0.2, isn't it, that makes a difference?
Yes, exactly. That's
God,
it.
Why do they do that? Why do they? It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, it's all right. Then I just love how we've done this podcast for so many years and we still don't properly understand the game.
Yeah, but that's so a stupid funny. Rule. It still confuses top 125k managers like me. Do you know what I mean?
I mean, you've gone early. It looks like it's going to work out anyway. Ronaldo has been training today. There's pictures on United's Twitter of him in training. So that's a full, what day is it? It's Tuesday. So that's Wednesday. I mean, that's 4 days of training. Yeah. He's going to be start. Right. He's going to start. And like we keep saying, it's Ronaldo, isn't it? The guy writes his own scripts. If you think he's not going to be all out for that debut goal, you've just got another thing coming. And I think it's just, for me, there's no contest. I mean, what do you think about, I presume you're thinking about moving Bruno out, Harry. Do you think that's the right move? And I think a lot of people are doing it, aren't they, for a -4.
Yeah, so I'm on board the sort of Bruno Ings minus four switch that it seems like half the people playing the game, Ings downgrade, Ings upgrade, and then one of those cheap midfielders to come in for Bruno. I think selling Bruno at some point is going to be what we all do. I don't think he's going to be scoring, you know, the points that we've seen from him previously this season. I just don't see it now that Ronaldo's there. And I also think short term, particularly Ronaldo, will be a big appeal. So something I said recently in one of my videos is that there's a whole debate about who's going to take penalties. Now, I don't necessarily think it's as clear cut as Bruno will never take a penalty again for United. I don't think we'll necessarily see that. But if they're playing on Saturday and Ronaldo, well, even if he scored, but particularly if he isn't on the score sheet and they get a penalty, there is no way that Ronaldo isn't stepping up to take it. If he hasn't got you any points and they get a penalty, there's no way Bruno Fernandes is taking that penalty. So I think selling him short term, I think there'll be a lot of focus on getting, you know, set pieces and things. We could see a lot of those direct free kicks, particularly in that first game going to Ronaldo. So I think particularly that Newcastle game, I wouldn't be selling him for a minus eight. If you don't have any transfers and you have Bruno, I wouldn't be doing the Bruno to Ronaldo move, but a minus four as well, because Ings's fixtures are looking pretty dreadful. He's been quite fortunate to get any returns in the first 3 weeks as well. So, yeah, I think those two moves have been... He's had a 97th minute penalty. He scored a bicycle kick and a dodgy assist. Like, I'm very happy with it, but I'm taking my points and running.
Did you see the anytime scorer odds for Ronaldo to score this weekend? 73%. And I think you've got it. The thing is with the bookies, I think is it FPL Salah, the guy that always puts the odds up? And there's times like the bookies know what they're doing, right? And that is a huge, huge odd, like, for somebody to score. It's any time. I mean,
you know what it is?
It's Ronaldo. This is what he does. He scores goals. There's no point overthinking this. There really isn't.
It is. It's because it's that mindset of it's Ronaldo, like the whole, you know, artistry and poeticness of him coming back to Manchester United. But also because he's just been the top scorer at the Euros and he was the top scorer in Serie A last year.
Yeah.
Like
he wins everything. He's a machine.
Yeah, exactly. His whole thing is he wants good stats for his career. He's changed his game as well. Let's not forget that. And he's probably the kind of striker that Manchester United need as well. Because let's be honest, they've not been particularly great, Manchester United, as an attacking force. They can play a lot better. And, you know, Ronaldo, he is different to every other player who can play that middle role for Manchester United.
Yeah. Absolutely. And the numbers don't lie. And the numbers back it up. You don't need me to write all the numbers into an article. Just look it up yourself. Like, it's clear. It's clear as day. You know, just getting my own back there.
So we've all said it's a no-brainer to get Ronaldo in. Harry, you mentioned that you're going to have to go for a cheaper midfielder if you want to make that jump to 12.5 Ronaldo. Who are the kind of leading options?
Yeah, so I think the one that would be for me would be Jota, if you can get him. But I'm in the unfortunate position where I've got Tsimikas sitting on my bench every week. So I can't get to Jota. The other one that people are talking about a lot is Ferran Torres. And I'm very cautious of going anywhere near him. He plays tomorrow night. He's already started both matches in international break and they need to win again tomorrow night because they lost their first match to Sweden. So I can see him starting again. They then play Leicester, then Champions League midweek, and then Southampton and then Chelsea. Realistically, how many of those three Premier League games do I think he's going to start? I think I can only see him starting one of Leicester and Southampton, which are probably the two fixtures you want to target. And then it's Chelsea away. So if I'm wildcarding when I plan on game week 7, then he's probably not the one for me. But then it leaves me with like Adama Traore, which I'm a bit like, he's got the stats, but he couldn't hit a barn door at the moment. So yeah, it's a lot of those cheap ones. The other one, you know, Damari Gray, but he's done very well for the stats he's got, or Ismaïla Sarr at Watford. But none of them are really, which is why I haven't made my transfers, because I just have no idea which of these cheap midfielders to be going for.
And why do you think Jota's the standout? Because of the Firmino injury, you think he's more likely to start and complete that?
Yeah, I think probably. I think even if we don't know how long Firmino's going to be out, he could be back for game week 4, to be honest, for all we know. But I still think even if he's going to start two of their next three, their fixtures are great. I'd still want Jota starting two of the next three over any of those other cheaper midfielders, even starting three out of the next three. If you can get, I think the money works out almost exactly for Ings and Bruno to Ronaldo and Jota. If you've got the space to get Jota, then I think you're overthinking it if you go for one of the others. Mm.
And is the Benrahma bonanza over?
Well, I have him. I don't necessarily think it's over, but, you know, in a blank in game week three, they then have Europa League, I think it is after game week four. They have a nice fixture in game week four. It's fine to be bringing him in. I still think he's got points on him. They look like they just want to score four goals every single game. It's pretty short term. If you want a wild card sort of game week seven like me and you don't have him in, I think he's, again, probably more proven than any of the other assets I've mentioned owning. So it's not a bad pick either. The other one is Rafinha that people are talking about. It's just that Liverpool fixture this week for them.
Mm. You've got, they've West Ham have signed Vlasic now as well, haven't they? It'd be interesting to see where he plays. What about Arsenal? I mean, I know they've been awful so far, but they play Norwich next. Their fixtures are good. Saka's just scored for England. Is there a chance that Arteta turns it round? I mean, I know you... Did you have Saka in at some point last season? And it worked out quite well for you, didn't it, Harry? I remember when you had a couple of Arsenal in there when their fixtures turned. And
yeah, it was when they had... It was that sort of game week 19, 20 blank and double game week where Arsenal played in both. I had Saka and Rob Holding for his incredible assist where he passed it to Tierney on the halfway line and he ran the length of the pitch and put it in the top corner. The greatest assist I think I've ever had in FPL. I have Ben White in my team at the moment. I wouldn't be put off going with these Arsenal players. I probably would want to go with Saka over the likes of Smith Rowe. As great as I think Smith Rowe is as a player, I just haven't seen the sort of consistency of FPL returns from him that I'd potentially see from Saka. The other one I probably would go with is Pepe. Now, Norwich concede a lot of chances down their left-hand side, which is where Pepe would play. So I think if I went Arsenal, I'd probably go there. But their fixtures are nice. It's just I'm not sure I've got it in them seeing how they've played in the first 3 weeks.
Yeah, for some reason, I think he might turn it round for a bit and buy himself some more time with those fixtures. I don't know what it is. I'm not basing it on anything, which isn't my usual way. But there's just something which suggests to me that they might go on a bit of a run. I think now Lacazette's back, Aubameyang's obviously back, Saka's fit again, Smith Rowe looks good, Tierney's still kind of clinging on to fitness somehow. So that's, you know, I think they've got a base there that if he gets them playing with those fixtures, they could surprise us. But having said that, you've got someone in the same price bracket that actually has got great underlying stats but isn't quite achieving yet, which is Adama Traore, which is who you mentioned. And I just think with him, he's the type of player that I love in FPL. When I see somebody who is massively underachieving their stats, I think now's the time maybe to get them in, just to have a little punt on him. I mean, that's what happened with Antonio before he scored those four goals against Norwich a few seasons ago, where it was like his stats are right up there, get him in, and then suddenly it all just happened. But it's Traore, isn't it? I don't know. He's not Antonio. I just don't know if he's got it in him. What do you? Yeah, no. You're shaking your head, Rich.
I don't know. I've been stung by him at least two times before because you see his price, and he's that price for a reason. It's because he doesn't deliver the points. You know, he's a great player to watch, and I'm sure if there's any Wolves fans listening, they'll probably say he's their favourite player at Wolves just because he's so exciting. But he can't finish and he can't cross, but he can run around in circles faster than anybody I've ever seen before. So he's good to watch a match of the day, but that's about it.
I mean, is no one thinking about Jimenez here? Just because I'm desperate for some Wolves players and I'm looking at their fixture. They haven't got a hard game apart from Aston Villa, the mighty Aston Villa, until the 4th of December.
That's what I mean. Yeah, I do think you should get on. Well, I mean, ideally, I'd probably like one of their defenders, but it makes it... Yeah. Traore and Jimenez are tempting. Even Trincao's got good stats as well. I just think with Wolves, they're that classic... I mean, we had it with Brighton last season, really, and it didn't really materialise, but they are the team at the moment that should have scored a lot more goals than they actually have. And is that going to continue? And if it does, eventually the floodgates are going to open. Like probability says, you know, eventually they're going to start scoring some goals. So do you jump on that train now when not as many people are going to be doing it because they haven't delivered yet?
Sound Rebel, and we produce this podcast.
We make loads of podcasts, and we want to make yours. Email hello at soundrebel.co.uk to find out more.
You forgot the bit about the first free episode.
Oh, and tell us you heard this ad, and we'll produce your first episode for free.
Great. Email hello at soundrebel.co.uk now, and we'll get back to you as soon as we can.
Right, back to the episode.
So if we were wildcarding this week, boys, would how many premiums would you have? I think this is a key question that I'm going to, that I think will dominate our team selection for most of the season, actually, because there are so many good premiums out there at the moment. Are we still sticking with two, or would you go for three and then downgrade your kind of team elsewhere and go for those kind of cheaper options?
So I've looked at it. As appealing as three is, I think you just fill your team with too many players that are just like, I just don't know how they can continue to perform. You'd have to be playing someone like Damari Gray every week, along with someone like Traore in your midfield. I'm pretty, if I was wildcarding, I would have the two premium attackers plus Trent. No, I think you're much better off spreading the funds. The other thing with it is captaincy. If you own three premiums, you're going to captain the third one a maximum of one in every 3 weeks, which is just too much when you're spending that much on them. So although in theory, you know, Ronaldo and Lukaku might be a great option, the combination of what you can do if you're not going to be captaining that other premium that often is probably better. I may change my mind when they both have nice fixture runs, for example, later on in the season. But for now, I'm quite happy with Salah and then to jump around those premium forwards.
Harry, can I just quickly pick up on something you mentioned there about, because a lot of this has been about funding Ronaldo. Yeah. I've seen a few people getting rid of Trent to free up some funds for Ronaldo as part of a minus four, two free transfers, get rid of Trent so that they're not skimping necessarily on those premium, the mid-price mids. Because there are quite a few midfielders, like we talked about, the Torreses, the Greenwoods, etc., the Jotters that you can bring in. Would you recommend getting rid of Trent, or actually is he kind of more like a midfielder with Harvey Elliott on the pitch?
I can't sell Trent. I cannot put a point across that is a positive for selling Trent. He's on 22 points from three games. If you look at his price compared to the same price in other positions, he will come out at the end of the season as one of the highest point scorers for that. He technically hasn't blanked. He got four in game week three, but he's shown now that they've got those sort of centre-backs back, he can get further up the pitch whilst also having the chance to keep more clean sheets. So with Van Dijk back, he has more clean sheet potential and more attacking threat. He is on my team pretty much before anyone else. I think Trent, Salah, and one of those forwards, and then just be done with that.
After watching England versus Andorra and see him starting in midfield as well, there is absolutely no hope in hell he's going to be doing that for Liverpool. Absolutely not. He's going to be swinging them crosses in for the rest of the season. You don't have to worry about that.
I think you'd be mad to get rid of Trent. I mean, his the numbers he's posting are brilliant. Picked up right where he left off last season. He could score every game. He could assist every game. Obviously, more likely to assist. I mean, his numbers are just incredible for a right back. I think he's completely overthinking it to take him out for Ronaldo when someone like Bruno is 12 million and just isn't producing the same numbers as Trent even yet. He may do, you know, Ronaldo may turn Bruno into an assist machine, and he got a lot of assists anyway, but suddenly Bruno's goal scoring appeal feels like it might go down. It is going to be all about Ronaldo.
Imagine he starts Ronaldo on the bench.
he cannot look Ronaldo in the eye and go, you know what, mate, we'll bring you on if we need you. True. He's not. Ronaldo just go, no.
We're going to start Martial today, Cristiano. Is that okay?
should we be getting rid of Greenwood? I haven't got him. I wish I did put him in from the start, to be honest. But should we be getting rid of him now that Ronaldo's
He's going to improve Greenwood. Ronaldo will improve Greenwood. Like, Rich, we had this conversation, didn't we, about how Greenwood better on the right. Let him play out there. Let Ronaldo play in the middle. Put Greenwood on the right. Let him cut in. I've still got him. He's been... I chose Greenwood, and I had one premium until now. I had Salah as my only premium because I thought that Greenwood would cover Bruno, and he has done. And I think Greenwood is going to continue. Harry, what do you reckon?
Yeah, so I've got Greenwood. I've had it since game week one. I remember it was one of the things I put out a tweet before the season started, being like, I don't know why Greenwood is only 5% owned. And everyone was like, oh, well, he might not play. That's why he's 5%. And I was like, the one player I wanted to do well at the start of the season was Greenwood. And when he scored in game week one, I sort of breathed a sigh of relief, put a cheeky retweet out. I was like, oh, well, I told you it's fine or something like that. Should have written in a 350-word article of how to play.
Anyway. Exactly, mate. That's what you've got to do.
But yeah, he is meant to be better out on the right-hand side. There is, of course, once Rashford comes back, I do think that we probably won't be owning Greenwood. Now, not because he won't play every game. I don't think he'll be in that United team. Once they've got Rashford, Sancho, Cavani, Greenwood, it is a lot of players to be playing once they've got Champions League. But for the next three, I don't see it. See him getting... He's going to start at least two of the next three, in my opinion. He's been their main goal threat. He's probably picked them up quite a few points. You know, he scored in the two... in the 1-1 draw in game week two. He scored the winner in game week three. Like, that's 4 points he's got them so far this season from two games. I don't see him dropping in when he's in such good form. And the next three as well, Newcastle at home, although it's great for Ronaldo, it's also great for your other United assets like Shaw, like Greenwood as well.
And Fred. Yeah. And
Fred. And Fred,
with
yeah.
Red. Anyone else we've got our eyes on if we were wildcarding, for instance?
You mentioned a little bit about in defence. We spoke a little bit about Wolves. Semedo would be one that I would very much consider having in my team. Wolves, although they've lost 1-0 three times this season, they've looked good defensively. Semedo had a price drop to 4.9. Playing right wing back. There are screenshots, I think, from FPL Swede on Twitter where he's playing right wing up front when they're putting the ball into the box. He's worth the 0.5 over the likes of Cody and Marcel. I think the attacking returns will come for him. They have a really nice run of fixtures and then he's the most attacking. And I think there will be some clean sheets for them there. They play a five at the back. There's always going to be clean sheets for a team that is playing a system like that. So he's quite low owned. A bit of a nice differential, I think, if you're playing him alongside the likes of Shaw, the likes of Trent, 4.9 million with their run of fixtures is probably worth considering.
And would you have him over Saïss? He's always got a bit of an attacking threat from corners and nearly scored against United, of course.
Yeah, I mean, I'm always a bit unsure with Bolly on the bench exactly what's going to happen in that Wolves defence. I don't know it well enough to know with the new manager who he's going to come in for. I feel like we've all been burnt enough times with Saïss being picked and being great and then being stuck on the bench again. So I'll stay clear of him, I think.
Who do you have in goal, Harry? I'm intrigued. Who's your goalkeeper pick?
I have Sanchez at the moment, but he's left a lot to be desired, I think, so far this season.
Okay, yeah, fair enough. Because I'm the only man in the world who apparently has Edison. Everyone else has got Sanchez or Martinez.
At the end of last season. I owned him at the end of last season when he saved that penalty. And was it game week 38, the last day of the season?
Oh yeah, when Everton got spanked. Yeah.
Yeah, I had Edison that week. Yeah, but the only time up. I've yeah.
A few people have shouted Melier if they're on a wild card. I think he's 5 million and leads his fixtures after game week 4 after Liverpool get really, really nice. And he was a bit of a magnet for bonus towards the end of last season and got a lot of save points. So if you were thinking of downgrading Edison, Rich, then and you didn't want a 4.5, then maybe Melier would be the way to go.
What's Mendy this season at Chelsea? Because their fixtures change soon.
6.
Oh, is he? Oh, he was great. When he first arrived last season, he was a lot cheaper than that. Never mind. Yeah. Edison for the season it is. Yeah, but it's unsure about what's going to happen with him once Henderson comes back into the squad, isn't it? Is he going to be back for game week 4, Henderson? Because
I think he's in training, yeah. But I expect De Gea to keep his place for now. I think especially after that Wolves game, but there's a little bit of a risk there, isn't there? Great. So who are we captaining then?
There's only one man in there.
It's gotta be
CR7, newly numbered number seven.
Captain.
No, you're not. Don't say that,
because he's going to score a hat trick against Newcastle at home at Old Trafford, and he's going to start. He's going to score a hat trick. Easy.
He'll score a tap in from 2 yards out. You watch.
Yeah, and you have got to remember that United's last two games have been very poor because of the central midfield problem. So it's if they can get the ball to Ronaldo in the right areas, absolutely. But there is that slight caveat and worry for me that it's going to be, you know, 1-0 or something like that. And just it'll really like really disappoint. But look, I'm still going to bring him in and captain him. Absolutely. Yeah. I can't, you know, and Newcastle's defensive record is not good.
No.
So it's if it was a different fixture and it was away from home, you'd maybe think Lukaku at home to Villa would be a better option. But yeah, you can't look past Ronaldo, really.
I mean, the atmosphere is going to be like carnival stuff at Old Trafford. And, you know, like you say, Newcastle can't defend, but they're going to set up defensively. So they're going to concede at least two goals, I imagine. I mean, I've got Wilson in my team, and I don't even think he might be fit for this game week, but he's just going to get a two if he does play, because he's just going to be completely out of this game entirely. Yeah. Sorry, any Newcastle fans.
Yeah, sorry.
So everyone's doing Ronaldo then?
I think so.
Yeah.
Well, that was easy. End of podcast.
Follow us at FBL Triple Cap.
Yeah. I'd realised I've had at Triple Captain 3 in my bio for the last 2 months, despite us changing it. So we've not been pretty promoted wonderful through that way at all. but yeah, and also remember the Discord server, which is constantly pinging on my phone. Join us on that. We will rate your teams before the deadline. And any questions? There's loads of chit-chat over there. It's a bit like Mumsnet, but for FPL. Good.
nice one, boys. And thank you very, very much, Harry, for joining us again. Pleasure to have you as always, and keep up the good work.
No, thank you,
Harry,
for having me.
If people want to find you, where can they get you?
FPL Tips with a Z on Twitter, YouTube, the usual. And TikTok now, actually, as well.
Whee!
Oh, there we go.
Are you doing FPL Tips TikToks?
Yeah, I am.
How does that work? How does that work? I'm so old.
it's not as high quality as some of the other stuff, just short videos on like team selection, transfers and things like that.
It's you a doing a dance routine in a Cristiano Ronaldo mask.
Yeah, you wait. When he scores, that'll be coming out.
Oh, dear. Right, yeah. Thanks very much, everyone. Good luck for game.
Discover more shows on the Sound Rebel Network.
Like Give Me Some Good News with Nathan Caton.
Hello and welcome to Give Me Some Good News, the podcast that brings a bit of positivity and optimism to your life while the mainstream media is full of doom and gloom.
He's stand-up comedian Nathan Caton and I'm radio presenter Rich Wolfenden. And every week we ask a comedian to come on the podcast and give us some good news, whether it's something that they've spotted that's made them smile or a bit of good news from their own lives.
So far, I've had some amazing comedians on the podcast, like Jason Manford, Russell Kane, Joe Caulfield, Dane Baptiste, Joe Lysett, Richard Herring, Jade Adams, and Ed Gamble. And we've got loads more great guests lined up, which in itself is good news because it looks like we might be in this mess for a while longer yet.
So if you've had enough of bad news every time you turn on the TV, then give our podcast a go. We release a brand new episode every Monday morning.
Search for Give Me Some Good News now, hit subscribe, and forget about the doom and gloom for 20 minutes. And don't forget, although it might not always feel like it, there's still some good news out there.
Give Me Some Good News with Nathan Caton. Listen now on your chosen podcast app.